It's that time of the year where all the spirits come out to play. A terror grips the streets, and your darkest fears come to life. Pull in close as we journey through the darkness into the realms of the Monster Cast.
And hello, everyone out there in podcast land. Welcome back to the Front Row Podcast right here on NPR Illinois, the podcast for people who actually like movies and the very last episode of Monster Cast for 2020. Man, oh man, it has been a sprint all throughout October. I think all told, we've released over 36 episodes in October. That is nuts. That's what we do here, though. And we are right here now to bring you the last episode of Monster Cast, our last horror film spotlight for the entire 2020 calendar year. I'm Jeremy Gechner, the editor-in-chief, here with me, as always, on MonsterCast, my wife, Sarah Baltusevich-Gechner. Say, hey, what it is.
Hey, what it is?
There you go. You didn't add the emphasis there, but...
That was dumb.
That was bad. That was damn terrible.
Also.
All right, so we made it. Do you feel accomplished? Do you feel accomplished that we got to the end of MonsterCast here in 2020?
I feel over it.
You feel over it.
Mm-hmm, I'm tired.
Yeah, because we've been doing all these. We added a bunch of full disclosures for ourselves, and we were still doing Are You Afraid of the Podcast at the same time. So, you know, we set our gauntlet out there to try and get all this recorded, and we finally did. So I feel accomplished.
Sure. I feel done.
Well, we're not quite done yet. We got one more here, and we are going to do our last MonsterCast spotlight on The Ruins. This is a very interesting film to talk about. Lots of different layers at play within this movie. Lots of gross out, a lot of just craziness, and a lot of different theories that we could talk about what this might be in terms of the monster here. But Sarah, let's throw it over to you here. Why don't you give us a few specs here? The Ruins. When did it come out? Who directed it? Who wrote it? Who is it starring? Give me a general plot rundown
here. The Ruins was released in 2008.
Okay.
Starring Sean Ashmore,
hey!
Jenna Malone, Jonathan Tucker, Laura Ramsey, and Joe Anderson.
There you go. Who's helming these things? Who's writing and directing it?
It's based on a book by Scott B. Smith. And okay. Directed by Carter Smith.
Okay, Carter Smith. That sounds familiar. Does he have anything else that we would know about?
I mean, I'm sure he does, but I don't really...
Doesn't look like anything crazy there.
At this moment, see too much.
Yeah, it's got like 11 directing credits here on IMDb, it looks like. Looks like The Ruins might be his big thing.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of saddens me because I think he did a pretty good job with this movie here. But if you had to give a brief little rundown of the synopsis of this film, like a big overview, what would you say? Like 2-3 sentences about it.
So like four... Friends meet a German guy at a Mexican resort,
mm-hmm.
who convinces them to go help him find his brother, who is touring some Mayan ruins
in that are like kind of like secretive,
off the beaten path.
Mm-hmm.
And upon touring these ruins, get
basically trapped,
ravaged,
by locals
and ravaged by plant life.
Yeah, by some kind of plant life monster thing. Yeah, actually, that's not bad. That's a pretty good setup there. So I mean, like, there's a lot of things that you could really kind of bring into all of this, but let's just start at the very beginning of this. So, like, the movie actually starts out with this scene of some girl in some dark place crying out for help, but
trying
nobody's
to make a
there.
Call.
She's trying to make a call on
busted.
A phone, but nobody hears her. And then somehow she just gets like dragged off or something like that. And that's how our film starts there. So that's already
we were trying to watch it tonight. We were just like play it in the background by our little boy was playing with his Paw Patrol toys.
Yeah.
And he just all of a sudden, like, he normally doesn't pay attention to what's on the TV. And tonight he just like stared at it. And I was like, oh, stop it. Pause it.
Yeah,
and he just like kept staring at it. And he's like, Mommy, she scaled.
Yeah, so if you ever wanted to know.
She scaled, Mom. She scaled. I was like, yeah, buddy, she is scared. I was like, keep playing Paw Patrol. And then he was just like gawking at the screen. Paws, just like looking at this. Like,
we kind of had to turn it off.
Yeah,
a
he's
bit.
Like, Mommy, I don't like that. I was like, I don't like that either, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. I don't know if I'm ever like a big fan of openings like this.
Yeah,
you know?
This one.
There's no context. I feel like I don't need it.
Sometimes it works. Sometimes it's like a really good, like, sometimes like there's a huge connection to it in the movie somewhere. This one is 100% not necessary.
Well, I mean, like, it feels to me like the only reason to have this is so that you have a reason for a phone ringing sound to be happening at these ruins, right?
Well, sure, but I mean,
that
could easily be like Mateus's like brother's.
Well,
phone,
even
you know,
well, like I said, like though, even if you because there's one of the big reveals that the plant life at these ruins can like mimic, you know, sounds, even people's voices. So we'll get into what that we think that is, but like. If I hear like a cell phone ringing down there and then the big reveal of like, oh, it's the plants making this sound, I don't really need like an explainer scene to tell me like, oh, well, this is how the plant knows about phone sounds.
Well, I mean,
you
it
know?
Has like, to copy it from something, but like,
yeah, but
we
I can just infer that.
Girl.
You
There's
know?
Been other people there. There's bodies up there. That
you could
we've seen.
You could have them find the dead phone in the cave.
Sure.
You know, we could just be like, oh, okay, well, it probably rang once
I mean,
or twice.
I guess they're just trying to show that this has happened, like, to multiple people multiple times before, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. It always just kind of just
it's
like...
It's unnecessary.
It's only like a minute and a half, and then it's just like, here we go. And, yeah, so I don't know. It kind of just, like, didn't land for me.
It's
but,
unnecessary.
You're right, though. Like, we immediately are introduced to our four protagonists here. And, you know, like, the college young 20-somethings on a Mexican vacation.
Spring break?
All attractive people all there. We've got Jonathan Tucker, who plays Jeff, who is going to be a doctor. He's heading off to medical school soon. His girlfriend, played by Jenna Malone,
Amy.
She is having herself a good old time at this resort. But Jeff's kind of like a little stick in the mud-ish. You know, he doesn't want to get drunk or anything like that. Amy's best friend is Stacy. And she's kind of, I don't know, just generic partier type girl,
blonde
party
hot.
Girl. And her boyfriend, played
Eric.
By which Ashmore is it?
I believe it's Sean
Ashmore, yes. I always think of like, okay, Aaron Ashmore is the one on Smallville. Which one looks more like Smallville?
They're identical twins.
I know, but I don't know. I could just tell on that one. But yeah, so, you know, they're having just this really fun little time
they
meet
this,
up.
Yeah, they've met a guy at the resort named Mateus. A German guy.
Who, you know, and this is the thing, like, who's the actor again?
Joe Anderson.
I first saw him in Across the Universe, and I've always liked this guy. I think he's a very likable actor.
I've only really seen him in two movies, and he plays a British guy and a German guy, and he's American.
Is he American? He does the accents very well. Yeah, so I mean, but I mean, like, it's, I just think like, it's very easy to come off as ultra creepy when you're in like a movie like this.
He was born in England, but he moved to
well.
The States. I'm pretty sure he like was originally.
Well, I mean, either way. But I mean, like, I just think like he has like this ability as an actor, like, you know, coming, especially like this came after like the Hostel films and everything. It's just like if you're meeting like a foreign national guy, like at a resort or something, it would be very easy for the trope to just be like, oh, he's this creepy guy who's like, you know, we don't know if we can trust him.
Right,
but
he's
very calming, you know, and he's very like
he's
fun.
Like he's not like the typical guy you meet at the resort that's just like trying to lead you to.
Yeah,
bad shit.
You know, giant torture chambers in Eastern Europe.
Like their nice friend who is like, "Hey, you want to go look for my brother with me?"
Yeah, even nice enough to the point where, you know, like Amy is, you know, blasted on the beach, and Jeff decides he's going to go to bed, and she's like dancing with Mateus, and it's pretty clear she's about to do some cheating. And like as she's like dancing with Mateus, he like even like calls and beckons her friends over there. He's like, "You might want to come get her real quick." He's like, "He's a good dude. Mm-hmm. He's just like a good dude." So yeah, so the five of them and another Greek guy that he's going with, Dimitri, decide to head off to these ruins. And, you know, yeah, it's like at first the cabbie's like, no, that's a bad place. I shouldn't take you there. And, you know, but eventually enough money gets them there. They hike and they find their way there to the ruins. And you're right, almost immediately when they get there, there's just these locals that ride up on horseback. They're armed with bows and arrows and guns. And, like, there's
it's
really
the creepy
tense.
Guy from Men in Black.
Yeah, it's like the head on the stick guy from Men in Black. Good to see he's still getting some work.
Like, that's all I can see.
Good to see he's still getting some work there. Yeah. But immediately, like, there's a lot of tension here. And, you know, like, Amy just continues to, like, try and take pictures of these people. I'm like, just
put, it's kind of awkward.
Put the camera down, man. Like, you don't want to do this.
Like, they have weapons. Maybe not take their
maybe
picture.
Don't do that. But of course,
they're just kind of like, you know, they're just like the typical, like, you know, like, privileged Americans thinking, like, nothing bad can happen to me.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I mean, they say that line, like, throughout the movie, like, I can't be here, this can't be happening.
Yeah, like this, like, doesn't happen. Yeah. Yeah, that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's once Amy is, like, you know, trying to back up to get a better shot on her camera, she backs up into these vines that are, like, all over these, like, ancient pyramid ruins. And, you know, that is when all of a sudden the locals just start freaking out. Like, you know, they're pulling weapons, they're, like, yelling at them.
Yeah, I mean, they just think it's, like, but, like, Dimitri thinks it's because of the camera. So
yeah, so he's just trying to give the camera to the guys, but the closer he gets, the louder and angrier they're getting, until eventually, very, like, suddenly, all of a sudden, just an arrow right into his
chest.
And
then they blow half his head off.
And it's just kind of like, that just comes out of nowhere.
And it's just like,
oh, okay, stakes high at the moment here. And so the locals here, they force them up to the top of the pyramid. And basically from there, it turns into just like, what do you have to do to survive type thing. Mm-hmm. But you had an interesting question when we were watching it this time, because you said, like, because I've always, like, every time I watch this movie, I think, like, the locals are seeing themselves as, like, the protectors of this place. They need to keep people away from it because there's a big evil here that could really damage the world. So they try to protect the world from whatever is contained on here. Because, you know, around the ruins is, like, basically just, like, salt, right? Like, or like, sand and
sand
stuff. Like, they've but it seems like somebody's made an effort to make sure that nothing will grow past this barrier. And so, like, what do you think? But you said maybe they're making them go up there for sacrificial purposes.
Well, I mean, if they didn't want them to touch it, why would they be, like pointing guns at them? Wouldn't that, you said it too, like, wouldn't they be like, no, wait, come here,
yeah,
come,
you
here,
could make, like, the arms towards yourself, like, motion of, like,
well,
nope, come
they're
to
like
me,
threatening them, like, we're gonna shoot you, like, why would they not just be like, no, like come on, no, don't
yeah, I mean, know? Like, you have, like, you know, gestures that could be universally understood, right. Like, nope, stop,
no, they,
you know,
like, force them back towards it.
Yeah,
so I don't know, like, I don't, it's very odd to me. Like, why?
I know. Well, I mean, it's an interesting theory, because you're thinking here, like, pagan worship or something like that. You know, like, clearly,
well,
like, these,
if you give
ruins,
them someone else, they're not going to come after you.
I guess. But I mean, like, you know, like, ruins like this were often used for, you know, in, like, the Mayan or the Aztec empires, like, sacrificial purposes. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like a far stretch there, but I don't know. And there's also the instance, you know, with the young boy, when, you know, Amy's finally freaking out after a while, and, you know, throws a big piece of plant, and it hits this, like, well, a 12-year-old boy.
It's not even, like, 9.
9 or 10-year-old boy that's just sitting there. And, you know, it just hits him on the chest.
Like,
but,
one of
and,
the
like,
local
falls.
Boys.
Yeah, one of the local boys. And
his mom is, like, right there, like, beckoning him to come back. And then, like,
yeah, but
alien head on a stick guy just, like, guns him down.
Yeah, shoots him right in the head. And it's just, like, so they're not fucking around with this
stuff. Like, if
stuff
you get
here.
Touched by it, like, there is no, like, I'm okay, like, you can heal me. No, like, you're, right. you're cashed.
Yeah, you're either going up there to die on your own, or you're getting killed right here. So I don't know. You know, that makes me think, like, you know, if it was a sacrificial thing, wouldn't they just, like, force him to go up there? But
yeah,
then
but
again,
maybe,
he was trying to leave.
Right, no, but I'm saying, like, if it's a sacrificial thing, like, maybe they don't want him to suffer. Like, he got touched by it, so, like, he's one of theirs. So they're like, we're just going to put him out of his misery
now. It's a good question. It actually gives me a little bit more, you know, like, I don't know. Maybe there is something there. But, you know, but ultimately, like, the big crux of the movie is the group's, like, effort to survive at the top of this pyramid.
Yeah.
And this is where the film really gets into its mega gross out stuff. So, I mean, lots of stuff goes wrong. There's some kind of, like, pulley system, like,
there's like
well,
a well
pulley system.
Like a cavernous deep well in the middle of it with a rope on, like, a spindle.
Yeah, but Matthias is hearing a cell phone ring, and it sounds like his brother's.
Yeah, when
phone.
They get up to the top, they notice that there's a tent up there,
mm-hmm.
and they find, like, the body of his brother, I think,
mm-hmm.
in the weeds, and
yeah.
they find, yeah. So they hear this phone noise, so Matthias is like, you know, I'm going to go them and have you lower me down.
So there's like this big rope, like rope pulley thing. And there's like, he loops himself in, and as they're lowering him down, though, all of a sudden the rope gives way and Mateus just falls.
He's only halfway down.
And I got to say again, like, you know how I'm a sucker for great shots in films. Like the shot of him just falling and disappearing into this blackness is one of those shots that just sticks with you in this movie.
Yeah.
And especially cause you don't even hear him hit. So you're like, geez, how far did he fall? And so, you know, obviously now they need to go down there and check on him, but one of the girls, Stacy, has to go down because, you know, obviously the girls aren't strong enough to pull up the guys if they go down there. So sexism.
Just sheer weight.
Yeah. So Stacy goes down there. You know, the rope doesn't quite reach the bottom, but she can hear Mateus, so she actually just jumps off the rest of it.
She lands,
I don't know,
on
like, you know, maybe like 6-7 feet, something like that. But she lands on the lantern and it cuts her leg. But she notices that Mateus is, he says he can't move his legs. And he can't feel his legs. So it's looking like he's got a broke back. So they decide to make a back brace board, you know, get everyone down there. And there's just this truly grotesque sequence where it's not quite to the ground and the girls have to try and lift Mateus up.
Yeah, they put
onto
Amy down there and they have to lift Mateus between the two of them up, and they're like trying to decide how to do it. Like
they just,
they have to put and carry his arms and his knees, and it's just like this.
And so like literally this guy with a broken back, and like there's just this shot of him just like crumpling up in the middle. Like it's just, oh God, it's so gross. And again, but I mean, like, you know, they get him up there and everybody, but the real grossness comes after they sleep for a night. And in the morning they understand all of a sudden that like these vines are kind of alive.
Because Stacy like takes the sleeping bag off, and like her wound from the lantern glass that cut her knee has like a vine growing out of it.
Yeah.
And it's like her entire leg from the knee down is just like covered in plant. And they start like ripping it off, and then he realizes like it's inside. He has to pull out like literally like 2 feet of vine from outside from her knee.
But he thought Stacy's was bad. Buddy,
Mateus's legs are just coated in vine.
I mean, and they are like decaying, like there's blood
everywhere. Yeah, the vines
everywhere.
Have literally just like eaten his flesh.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just,
and like he, I mean, she notices because she, you know, she can feel it, but he can't, he doesn't have any feeling.
I know, he's
down
just
there,
like,
so,
something's wrong, like, you know, open it up here. And like, yeah, not pretty. Not pretty here. And honestly, so like, and I believe like before we get the really gross part of this movie, like Amy goes back down.
That's
Amy
when
and Stacy goes back down.
Amy and Jeff go back down and she throws the vine at the kid. That's after that.
Yeah, but I mean like after, you know, all of that, they, you know, they go back down there because she's hearing the phone again. And this
is down the well. I thought you meant down the pyramid.
Yeah, but down the well. And then when she gets there, she gets to like this big chamber room where all of a sudden she starts noticing these plants that are like making the noise of the cell
phone. They think that like it's a phone because they keep saying like, we got to go find that phone. And they go down there and they find the body of the girl from the beginning, and they like pull her out and see that she's dead, and they take the phone out of her hand and they notice that it's like cracked and broken. They're like, no, but it was just ringing. And then they like look, and like the stamen of the flower, the inside is just like making this vibration,
vibrating and stuff.
And it's just like, it's like copycatting, like replicating the sound of the phone.
But even more than that, like then the girls are screaming because they're surrounded by all these crazy looking flowers that are now violently shaking. And then they start like mimicking their screams. And it's just like, oh God.
Yeah, so they just like get pulled back up and they're like, I don't know what the fuck it is, but like it can, they're like, what do you mean? What do you mean? They're like, it can replicate our sound. There's no phone. Like it's.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it just turns into.
At this point, it's just sheer, like, then it's just already
turned into hopelessness.
Panic, but it's like, not only do we have like a bunch of crazy locals surrounding, like, not only are we out of food and water and sweating our balls off on top of this pyramid with a bunch of crazy locals with guns and bows and arrows to kill us, but now we're up here with like crazy killer plants.
Yeah, like some kind of plant monster. So what do you think that this thing is, you know? Because like I kept asking, I was like, you know, since we're so musical theater oriented, I was like, what is this, like an Audrey 2, like a less sophisticated Audrey 2?
An extremely like highly intelligently developed like organism that has been around for so long that it has like
it's clearly got some sentience.
Like it's learned behavior, like it's literally like some kind of plant that's been around for so long that it like has picked up like more human-like behavior.
So you think this might be like a natural like evolution of a plant that turns into like some kind of predator.
Yeah, I don't think it's like some kind of like monster from outer space. I think it's like a plant, but it's been literally it's been on these ruins for God knows how many years.
Yeah.
It's just developed these.
And it's killed people quite a bit. Otherwise, you know, why would people have contained it in this way? You know,
it's
because
like,
it's not like
it's learned
the vines,
how to prey on people.
Yeah, because like the vines that are on the outside of this well and like this deep cavern, like they don't quite have the same prowess as the plants on the inside of the cavern, you know, like they don't have the petals or anything.
Well,
these are kind of like the tendrils.
The newer ones. Yeah. The oldest plants that have been there from the beginning have developed this ability.
Yeah.
And that's how like they feed, because they're able to like prey on whoever comes in contact with them. They've learned these behaviors over these years.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Exactly. And you know, the only other thing I would push back on, like a sacrificial one, is that like, you know, how often do they need to do this? Because clearly they take great pains to make this place hidden. You know, they hide the path. You know, once the group gets to the river, they have to like pull apart a bunch of weeds and stuff to find the path to it.
I'm not saying they lure people here to feed it to the monster. I'm just saying like, why let them go up there?
It's an interesting question for
it's
that.
It's like, I get, like, I've always thought the same thing you thought when I've watched this in the past, like that they're just trying to like keep people away from it because it can harm them. But it's like, so they hadn't even touched the vines yet and they're still like threatening to kill them. Like if they hadn't been doing that, Amy would have never have backed up into the plants and none of this would even happen.
Yeah, exactly.
They would have just been like, no, go. Like, I don't understand that part of it.
Yeah, exactly. So I hear what you're saying there. Now, you know, I like what you're saying there about the plant, you know, just being like some kind of like ancient creature or something, or like, you know, like something that's been here but evolved. I like that explanation a lot more than like, you know, maybe it's a monster from outer space or something. Like there's a lot of things that we don't know about this world still unexplored, so maybe it is some kind of creature plant thing that you know, they just kind of contain there. But
I think it's just some species of plant that's been around for so long and hasn't been studied, and it's just has developed these behaviors.
Yeah, because it's being hidden away and stuff. But there are two big gross out moments of the action up here on the pyramid. The first is, it would make Eli Roth very proud. Mateus's legs are getting infected and such. And so Jeff says, you know, basically his bones are going to get infected unless we cut off his legs.
If he gets an infection in his bones, then it can spread and then he's done.
Yeah, he's done for anyway. And literally all they have is like a tiny hunting knife. And, you know, the thing that's crazy is like, and what's great about the script here is that, you know, like Jeff, because he's the only medical student, has to explain what they're going to do to the rest of them. And so that obviously gives us, you know, the path forward to knowing what's going to happen here. And he talks about, you know, like we have to break his bones first and then just literally like saw through the rest of it.
And they're like, they're like, oh my God, no, the pain's going to kill him. He's like, he won't be able to feel it. You know, he's basically paralyzed from the waist down at this point.
But I mean, like they're going to take a vote because, you know, obviously some people don't want to do this. But it turns out it's Matthias himself that says like, do it.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't want to die. So do it here. And people, I don't know how to fully give you the grasp of how graphic this scene is, but it is brutal to watch. It is so brutal to watch. The bone breaking, the cutting of the legs.
Yeah, he uses a big rock to smash the bones first, and then he just like saws through the leg.
And Mateus it certainly seems like he's feeling all of it.
Yeah, the girls are hiding in the tent as to not watch it, and it's just, And he cauterizes with it.
He has to cauterize him with a skillet.
Makes a tourniquet with like two belts, and it's just like.
But it's not like, oh, like a bunch of like quick cuts, like to people screaming and like to a close up of a knife. They let you see all of it.
Yeah, the
and
whole process.
It is gruesome. It is really gruesome. I mean, in the realm of, you know, movie gross out things.
It's not like a gratuitous like violence. It's like, I mean,
it's unnecessary.
Some serial killer hacking up a guy for
no
reason.
It has a purpose, yes.
Right.
But it's
purposeful,
just like, ugh, like,
yeah, it's gross.
But it, I mean, your hand is going over your mouth. I guarantee you when you're watching it. The other big gross out, why don't you tell
me
about
that? Well,
yeah,
but then, like, the plants, like, crawl up and take the remnants of the leg away with the feet. Like, it's gross.
So gross. Oh, God.
But, yeah, eventually, like, after, you know, they've pulled this vine out of Stacy's leg, but after they cut off Mateus's legs, like, a couple minutes later, you know, Eric's like, you guys got to come in here and see this. And Stacy lifts up the back of her shirt. And this, something they noticed earlier is that, like, there's, like, polleny green fungus all over all their clothes. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, it's growing on them.
Right.
But because Stacy has a deep wound, it has gotten deeper. So he pulls up her shirt, and there's, like, these, like, squiggly moving vines inside of her back, like, inside her skin.
Inside of her.
So they're like, you know, we have to get him out. So Jeff, like, gives her a couple swigs of tequila, and he's like, okay. He's like, do you want me to do this? She's like, yes, do it. And so they just have to, like, dig. They have to take the knife and dig into her skin and cut him out, like, in several areas.
Yeah. Two big areas there, one on her leg and one on her back. Yeah. And they get him out. And again, props to Jonathan Tucker here, because he plays this great. You know, like, because Jeff is obviously horrified in the situation, but, you know, he plays it like a doctor would. You know, this is what I have to do here. Mm-hmm. Even though he's not in med school yet, but you get what I'm saying. But this is not the biggest gross out of all that, because she's convinced that there's still ones in there that they can't see.
Yeah, she's like, they're everywhere. She's like, I feel it by the bone. Let's just cut some more. Like, please cut some more. I feel them in my head. And he's like, there's no more cutting.
Yeah.
He's basically like saying, like, if you cut again, you're going to bleed to death.
Yeah, you're going to, if you keep trying to do this and cut things out, like, you're going
to bleed to death.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're like, there's no more cutting. They're like, you're hallucinating. Like, we got him.
Yeah, and a great shot there.
They're like passing around the tequila bottle, and as she goes to take a swig, like, you see the tiny vine just, like, go across her forehead, like, right by her brain. They all see it, and they all just try to be like, and she's like, what's in there, isn't it?
I mean, it's just, again, like, the film builds this great sense of hopelessness, like, more and more and more. You know, like, every little ounce of, you know, hope that they could have of getting rescued slowly gets stripped away. And then, you know, like, even there, it's just like, okay, we did this terrible thing that we had to do to you to get, you know, these vines out of you.
Yeah, and it's okay now. Yeah, like, we got
and then,
them.
Like, they see it in there, and they know that if they tell her, she's going to freak out to the point where she's going to try and cut it out herself or something. And again, just slowly ripping away just those little bits of hope or goodness that you can have there. But, you know, like, she's feeling this, and eventually when they all do go
to sleep,
she wakes herself back up, finds the knife, and as the rest of them wake up, they come upon the vision of her, and she is gone to town on her body.
Yeah, she's just, like, cutting. She's cut, like, one leg is just, like, completely, like,
she's literally
digging,
kind of pulling apart, like, her
muscles, like, and, like, her head is cut open, and she's got the knife in her hand. She keeps being like, I almost got it, just a few more cuts and I'll have it. And she's just like, she's completely lost it.
Yeah, and she's getting violent. You know, like, Jeff tries to get the knife away from her, but she cuts his hand.
And then Eric tries to get it from her. He's like, baby, you've got to stop cutting. And she's pissed. She tries to, like, swat him away, but she swings with the knife and she stabs him, like, directly
right in the heart. And it, again, kind of like the bows and arrows and everything. It's just like, all of that moment in the film, you're just like, oh crap.
And like, she kind of doesn't realize what she did at first, you know? And then it's just like, Eric. And it's like, he dies.
He's dead.
He killed him.
So this is at this point, you know, she's telling Amy, it's like, it's so hard. Like,
she's
it hurts
laying
so
there
much
in Amy's arm. She's just, like, cut to shit. She's bled out. Like,
she's like, kill
she's
me,
nothing
please
left.
Kill
just
me.
Kill me. It hurts. Yeah. And she then, can't do it.
But then again, the director, you know, like, we see Jeff picking up the knife out of Eric's chest while the plants are dragging him away to be, I guess, fed upon by whatever this thing is. And then the director, again, just does this great shot where he cuts back to the bottom of the pyramid, and we see the locals, and we're still hearing her, like, just screaming,
well,
you know, kill me.
It too.
Yeah, and that's also the thing, is like, these plants are dicks, like, you know, like, they're sitting there, she's literally, like, continually screaming, like, kill me, and all of a sudden, the plants just, like, louder and louder, they're going, kill me, it's just like, man, these plants are dicks. But, you know, they cut to the bottom of the pyramid, they see, like, we see the backs of the locals as they're looking up at the pyramid, we're hearing her scream, kill me, and then, boom, she just stops. And, you know, it's just one of those things, just a really, really good thing where we don't really need to see that, you know,
but this leads to our epic conclusion. Yeah, Jeff's like, and then all the next thing you hear is Jeff being like, okay, you know, I'm going to carry you down when you hear me say this, like, you run, you don't wait, you don't hesitate, you run.
Yeah. So he brings her down covered in blood. The implication here that she's died. Yeah. And he's just kind of throwing it there. And so then he just does this
speech.
Really great speech. Where he's like, you don't even know our names and stuff. And he's like slowly walking away from Amy's body.
Drawing them away.
And then as he slowly starts to come
Do you want to know what her name was?
Yeah.
It was Amy. And then she just takes
off.
She just
literally gets up, bolts. And as he's there, they shoot him with the arrows and stuff. And so he slowly dies. But he has sacrificed himself, given Amy a shot to get away. She is running for her life. She makes it back to the path into this Jeep. Mm-hmm. And this is where the movie diverges a couple of different ways here. So apparently there's a theatrical ending and then two alternate endings.
Yeah, there's like a really alternate ending and then there's like just a very like slight alternate ending.
Yes. So here, you saw this in the theater. So why don't you let everybody know what the theatrical cut ending of this is?
The theatrical cut is just like Amy gets to the, like, you know, it's like a very long chase to the Jeep. Like, they're chasing her. They're shooting arrows at her. Like, she just is, like, running. She, like, makes it to the Jeep. You know, she's, like, can't find the keys. She gets them in, and then she drives away. Like, she gets away clean.
Right.
And then, like, a couple minutes later, then it flashes to, like, a scene of, like, the two Greek guys that were Mateus's friends, Dimitri's friends, who we didn't say this, but like
they were drunk on the beach when they left.
Well, no, Mateus drew a map for them.
Right.
Dimitri left.
But I mean, like they were supposed to go with him, but they were just too passed out.
So they left him a map if they wanted to come meet him.
Right.
So the whole movie, they have the possibility of keeping like the Greeks are going to come. They're going to come.
Right.
So eventually, like a day later, these guys do show up, and it's just like the implication that it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
And that's how it ends.
Yeah. So that's the theatrical.
That's all I'd ever seen of it.
And like, you know, we get a little bit of the like, oh, doom and gloom ending, but Amy gets away. Mm-hmm. The sacrifice that Jeff makes is worth it. She gets to go and presumably live a life. Mm-hmm. Now there's the alternate ending to that one, which
the, like the slight alternate ending. Yeah.
I don't know. Which one do you want to do? I think.
Well, we're on the topic of her driving away. So
yeah. So, and I mean, this is the one, the copy we have. This is the copy that we have
apparently
of this movie.
We haven't watched this copy before because I never saw this.
Right. But so in this one, the same thing happens. Amy has the chase. She gets to the Jeep. She starts and drives away. But as she's driving away, she looks in the rearview mirror, and all of a sudden we see that there are some little vines underneath her skin on her cheek, and they start moving. And so the implication here being, of course, that Amy has been infected by this vine too, and that now she is bringing that evil out into the world. Mm-hmm. And who knows what the hell is going to happen at that point. And then we do get, again, the cutscene of Dimitri's friends coming and coming upon the ruins. So that's the alternate ending we saw. But there is yet one more alternate ending.
So this is based on a book.
Right.
So like I read that, like, most of what happens in this movie is very alternate from the book. Like, okay. In the book, Amy is the first character to die. Stacy's the lone survivor. Well, she doesn't actually survive, but she's the last of the group to survive, comes down the ruins, and she gets killed by the locals.
Right.
But, like, it's very different in how it all happens.
Okay.
But so I guess this is, like, part of what happens in the book. So they say that this alternate ending of the movie has some kind of caretaker, like, walking through a cemetery,
okay,
humming Frère Jacques.
For some reason. Thank you for that detail.
And we hear, like, an echo of Frère Jacques, which is the flowers.
Right.
And he comes upon these red flowers surrounding a grave, which happens to be Amy's.
Okay.
So
the implication here being that somehow her body was recovered? Or that she just kind of died after she escaped. That even though they put her in the ground, the plants still found a way out. Something like that.
As the caretaker reaches for a flower, the music surges and the scene cuts to black.
Yeah. So not a lot of details there, but I think the ending that we have is probably the best one.
Yeah, the director said, like, they tested these several endings and they were waiting for, like, the audience. And the audience did not like that graveyard ending. They said, you know, this is a pretty punishing movie already, and they didn't want to end on another nasty note, so they decided to go with just like clean escape frame.
And then kind of the ambiguous, but it's probably still going to happen ending.
Right.
About as close to a happy ending as you can get in a horror film, a standard horror film.
If someone survives, it's a good day.
Yeah. But I think I like ours the best, like where it's like the implication that she's infected in some way.
Here, I guess,
I like a little bleakness, you know? I don't know.
There's already blood. I just had never seen that before. I was like, what? You go, no, she had it in her face. I was like, no.
Yeah, I was like, here, we had to rewind it and everything.
No, she gets away.
Does Amy count as like a final girl in your mind?
Yeah.
I think so. You know, like, especially if you saw the theatrical cut.
It's,
like,
she's the complete definition of a final girl. She
yeah, but I mean, like, girl. Usually there's, like, a killer, you know, like a human killer involved yeah. in something like that. But I think you should count her as a final girl. I mean,
any girl that makes it to the end of a horror film, no matter what the predator is a final girl.
There you go. I tend to agree with you there. Although I'm not a big fan of Jenna Malone, if I'm being honest. But,
no, I'm not a Jenna Malone.
She's given good performances.
She's not a bad actress. She just always tends to play, like, these, like, I don't know, like, kind of insufferable characters. Like, ever since, like, I was a kid, and, like, I used to love Stepmom, and, like, she's just such a bitch in that. And then she's, yeah. like, what's her, Joanna Mason and Hunger Games. Like, she's just not, like, been one of my favorites. Mm. But, I mean, she's fine in this.
Yeah, no, she's
really
good.
This is the first
time
where I've actually not seen her not, like, be, she's kind of, like, the, like, more balanced of the...
right, yeah, she's kind of the even-keel one. You know, look, overall, I think, like, the movie, like, what did you say, like, 2009, 2008? You know, it's aged pretty well. It still is very effective. The story is very simple, so, I mean,
like
it's
there. Like, I think it's one of, like, the more, like, hidden gem horror films.
Yeah, I agree with you,
actually.
That a lot of
people have seen and are, like, I just think it's... I don't know, it's just like, it's not like a, so run of the mill. Like, it's a very, it's, I don't, like, there's nothing you could really compare to it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of why we chose it as our, like, kind of like Joker's Wild Monster Cast pick, is because it is kind of unidentifiable. I mean, I guess we could have called it our monster pick, but I mean, is it a monster? I don't know. Not really. You know, it's not a ghost. It's not something supernatural in terms of that, but, like, you know, it is still very terrifying because, you know, what, like, there's also that idea of, you know, like, that I think M. Night Shyamalan was playing with a little in The Happening, but, you know, like, nature is dangerous. And, you know, like, if you don't respect nature
right.
and you're, like, messing with stuff, you
we
shouldn't mess with.
We were kind of talking about this, like, when we talked about the water demons
yes.
episode, like... Like, yeah, okay, the threat of, like, the ghosts, the demons coming after you, yeah, of course that's scary, but, like, the threat of just, like, the water at dark is even scarier. And for this one, it's, like, the threat of, like, starving to death, like, dehydrating, rotting on the top of this pyramid, like, you know, not being found is almost just as scary as the fact that there's, like, killer vines up there. Because
right.
even if there weren't killer vines up there, they wouldn't have made it in very much longer. They had no water. They had no food. They were surrounded by locals who wanted to kill them. Like,
right. Yeah, they're going to die either
take
way.
Take away the killer vines, there's still a huge sense of panic.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, like, you wouldn't have the precipitating factor of Matthias's amputation, but... You could
well,
still
no,
find a way to do
down
that.
The well,
yeah,
I
you
mean,
could,
still-
you could still find a way to do that. Like, there's no blood flow going to his leg, something like that. You know,
right.
like, so you're right. Like, if you even take the monster aspect out of this, it's still a terrifying film.
Yeah, I mean, the heat. You know, like he's dehydrated. I mean, yeah. There's just I'm just saying, like, there's more surrounding fears than just the fear of oh, these vines are going to kill us.
Right.
You know, there's like. Oh shit, we're stuck up here. I mean, we were talking about this the other day when we were watching the Blair Witch Project.
Right.
Like, okay, yes, like the actual Blair Witch fear, but the scariest part of that movie is like, shit, we're lost in the woods and we may never get out.
Right, and the woods are already inherently creepy anyway.
Right, so like that, like that's what I mean. Like, the movies like this that have like the actual, take away the supernatural, like horror movie elements, like it's still scary because that could happen.
Yeah, because
you could get lost in the woods. You
yeah.
could, you know, like that kind of thing. Like,
if you're
that's
going somewhere
freaking.
That's like off the beaten path that people don't know about, that people try to hide, that people try to steer you away from.
No one's
going to
find you there. You yeah. could easily, you know, shit like that.
The roads don't
happen.
Go to this. You're hiking 11 miles, you know, like all that kind of stuff. You're right. It's just like, and that is kind of a classic trope in like some of the older horror films too, is just like the modern world encroaching on the natural world. And, you know, like there's some things you should not mess with and you should not seek out and find. And you have ample opportunity to turn back
I mean,
and not
there's
do
like
this.
A point in this movie where like when they're deciding to go with Mateus to this and Jeff's talking to Amy, he's like, I mean, he's like, don't you want to have some adventure? I mean, all you want to do is like beach pool. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
I'm good with staying at the resort, beach pool.
Throw
yes.
some cheeseburgers and some tequila in there. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah. A couple daiquiris by the pool. Yeah, I'm good. I don't need some ruins to jazz
exactly.
up my vacation. I'm good.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, that's what I'm like. That's why I like movies like this, because it's like, I don't, you know, there's only so many like slasher movies, like ghost movies you can do, but like, it's, I think it's like the fear of like, the real
we're surrounded by plants all the time, and how much do we really know about them? You
yeah,
know,
but
like,
I mean,
I'm not
know,
saying
just,
that, you know, the bush in your backyard is going to kill you, but,
no, but it's
just
like,
kind of this thing. Like,
I don't know. I just like the idea that like, in this film, even if you removed the like plant aspect, like it's still scary.
Yeah, that's a very,
like,
very good
in
point.
The Ring, if you remove the tape in Samara, it's not scary.
Yeah, you kind of lose a big facilitator there.
You remove
there.
Yeah. Ghostface from Scream, it's not scary. But, you know, if you I mean, this film still has like that element of scary because that shit is scary. Yeah. Going off the beaten path, like getting lost somewhere.
Well,
that's
how many,
scary.
I mean, like, there's tons of stories of that. There was a mystery a couple years ago, I can't remember the other one, but there's two foreign students that got lost in a South American country. Chris Kremers was one of them. You know, like, all they found was their camera and like a few pictures taken at night with flash. Maybe they were trying to see something, but that's it, and they still haven't found these people. Yeah. That's scary
that's
enough
horrifying.
On its own. That's and that case is always listed on these internet videos, like these lists of like the top 5, top 10 creepiest mysteries in the world, you know, like stuff like that. You're right, like there's just an inherent, like if you are doing something that's like outside of our modern conveniences, it's inherently dangerous sometimes. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like that's already a terrifying aspect. Oh, and by the way, here's a giant plant monster at the same time.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, and like this one, like I don't know. Like I said before, I think it's just like an ancient plant that has like been, you know, that has learned this behavior. Like I don't even see it as like, I don't think like it like was a total eclipse of the sun that brought this to the...
Maybe a doo-wop song brought it here.
No, I just don't, you know, it's
yeah,
like...
No, I like that. I think that's right. And I think that's very, way scarier. Again, like, yeah. That plays on the fear of just, like, how much of this world we really don't know. Like, I mean, I told you in the Water Demons episode that it was, like, 80% of the ocean is still unexplored.
Right,
you know, like what the hell could be
done
there?
Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm a horror movie. Like, I'm a cheese. I'm a camp fan. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's just, like, the fear of, like, the real that's scarier than... That I just like better. Like, sometimes
you need
to just watch something that's like, okay, that's really scary because that could happen.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, like watch like a Jason movie, a Friday the 13th, or watch The Strangers. Which one's going to make you crazier?
I don't like The Strangers. Because I'm like, that shit, I don't like that shit. Because the nights when you're gone filming, all I can think is I'm going to hear the freaking echoey knock on our door in our old ass house. And
you're
going to
hear somebody saying
person.
Like, smile.
That's what I'm saying. The movies that like could actually happen are far more terrifying.
Yeah, exactly. And like it or not, this one plays in that realism. And, you know, again, I know we're talking about a tree monster thing or something in here, but like, you know, you're right. It's basically just that thought of the natural world killing you. And that's something that's very real.
Even if there's not a tree monster, as you like to call it, we're going to dehydrate and die up here in at least 2 days. So,
yeah.
I mean...
Terrifying enough.
Bad. Not great.
So, yeah.
Not great, Bob.
So, I think that I highly recommend this one,
yeah,
too.
I like
think
this
if,
one.
If you haven't seen it, like, I think you should go out of your way.
It has, like, medium reviews, you know? I think it has, like, yeah. But it's, I like it. I just, that's why I wanted to do it. And, like, this is one that, like, you know, we have, like, some odd 200 movies on our like horror movie hard drive, and
yeah.
Every Halloween we try to pack in as many as we can. But like this is, I always make sure I watch this one.
Yeah, it's always a good one.
I like it. I think it's well done.
It holds up, and I think it's going to hold up for a while. Practical effects, y'all.
Totally.
All right, Sarah, it's done. MonsterCast 2020 is officially over.
That's just me. You know, it's sad to say goodbye to MonsterCast because we love it, but it does mean that we're closer to saying goodbye to this dumpster fire of a year.
Yes, exactly, which is what we all want. But we sincerely hope that you have enjoyed this year's MonsterCast. You know, we were planning on doing a lot more this year for MonsterCast as the Front Row Network, but we didn't plan this much, and it's just kind of, you're right, kind of a byproduct of this. We're all mostly at home and stuff, and everybody was just in on it and they wanted to do it. And I got to say just a big thank you and big ups to the entire Front Row Network because they all stepped up in a big way. We had interviews, we had premieres, we had multiple episodes from each of our like dozens of shows that we did there. And it was just a monster cast unlike any other. I don't know if we can replicate it next year.
I'm literally sitting here right now, like looking at our horror movie screen here on the USB and thinking, what are we going to do next year?
Yeah, now we're already planning for next year. But seriously, if you want to know, we, of course, are still going to be doing content next month in November. A hell of I can tell you right now what it is. MonsterCast has melted my brain. But
Thanksgiving movies?
Well, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, I guess, is a Thanksgiving movie. But
What's that Holly Hunter one, like Home for the Holidays or something?
I don't know. Maybe we'll do that one.
It's not a good movie. But
it's not a good movie.
It revolves around Thanksgiving.
There's not a lot of Thanksgiving movies, come to think of it, but a lot of Christmas ones. I mean, those will definitely be coming up. Look, if you want to know what more is coming from the Front Row Network, go and find us online, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, the Front Row Network, and follow us on Twitter at Front Row Reviews with a Z. If you want to find our website, nprillinois.org/programs/front-row-network or thefrontrownetwork.com. Sarah, any last messages for all the MonsterCast fans out there?
Just have a happy Halloween, and hopefully next Halloween we're in a much better place.
We certainly will be. All right, everyone, that is going to wrap it up here for MonsterCast 2020 for the Front Row Network. I'm Jeremy Gechner.
I'm Sarah Baltusevich Gechner.
And we'll see you in the front row. Bye.
Bye.